Well, let's focus for the next few moments on God's word for us today. We're in week 4 of the series entitled Better Together, and we've been talking about a few pairings, some things that are better together. So I want to test you this morning on some things that may be better together. So if you would help me out with this. The first is sweet and sour. Good job. You guys got it. All right, pen and paper. It's summertime, so I like some brats. We got some ketchup and mustard. And for our breakfast enthusiasts, we have some eggs and then the stormy nights, we got some thunder and some lightning. You guys are good at this game. I like it. In this series, we've been talking about relationships in our lives and how that we can better understand them and how to better navigate them. A couple weeks ago, we began the series talking about that we were designed for relationship, both with God and with one another in this room and outside of this room. And then we talked, the next week, we talked about our relationships, that our relationships should help us grow closer to God. And when we draw closer to God, then we actually have stronger relationships with those who are around us. Last week, like we mentioned, maybe there's a little fighting going on stage, but we talked about that great relationships know how to fight right, that we can't avoid them, they'll happen, but if we choose to fight right, that we can come out stronger and better together. Well, this week, we're asking the question, if we are better together, why are we so quick to quit relationships? Today, if you came looking for hope, for peace, for a purpose for your life, for focus, I've got good news that there is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of today's message, I'll give you an opportunity to receive that hope. This morning, if you would, pull out your phone. We're going to turn in our Bible app to Luke chapter 22. I'll be reading this morning from the Message version. Maybe you have your paper Bible with you. If not, the words will be on the screen behind me so that you can follow along. This morning, as you came in, I'm really hoping that you received a message note. Those message notes are available for you in the back of the room, but they're important. They'll help you follow along with the message today. You'll know not only some of the points that I'm making, but you'll know when I'll end. But they're also important. We hand those out every week so that this week you'll be able to pull out those message notes and look for yourself what God is speaking. It's an honor that I get to speak on the stage and you guys listen to me. But we believe that the God that tells us what to say up here can speak to you guys in your living room or wherever you choose to pull out those message notes. So I encourage you to take them home with you today. I also wanted to say hello to everybody that's online. Thanks for joining us from wherever you're watching. We do have a host there in the chat room, and so we would love to know that you're watching with us this morning. So if you would, leave a comment, tell us who you're watching with, and we just really appreciate that you're watching from home online there on Facebook. Well, today we're going to be reading in Luke chapter 22. Again, we're looking at the Message version. And right before this passage, Jesus has spent a few years with his disciples. He's been training them how to live. He's been teaching them about how to do miracles and in teaching and walking all throughout life, living life together. The disciples had come close to him. And at this point, Jesus is getting ready to go to the cross. He's getting ready to complete his mission and go and die to forgive all the sins of the world. And he has this moment with Simon Peter, one of his close disciples. And we're going to look at that today. So Luke chapter 22, verse 31 through 34, it reads this way. Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I've prayed for you in particular that you would not give in or give out. When you have come through the time of testing, turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. Peter said, Master, I'm ready for anything with you. I'll go to jail for you. I would die for you. Jesus said, I'm sorry to have to tell you this, Peter, but before the rooster crows, you will have 3 times denied that you know me. Let's pray this morning. God, we thank you for the opportunity we have to hear from you. God, I pray that we would hear your words and we would take action on them. God, help us in our relationships that we would not quit too early. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, speaking of better together, how about we have something that's better together? This morning, we have people that are passing out some ice cream and some brownies. So go ahead and enjoy your ice cream and brownies as we continue in the message this morning. We're going to have a good time. Well, I don't know about you, but as I was growing up, I was a 90s kid, so I loved my Disney movies. And whenever I think about in my growing up that I would have a marriage or I would have a spouse, I thought about all of these picture-perfect ideas of what it would look like to have a relationship. I think we all have an idea of a picture-perfect relationship. Maybe it was the perfect spouse, right? That would wake up in the morning with us and have great conversations, you know, that would share our hobbies together and we would do everything together, that we would grow old and walk together at night in the sunset and hold hands going down the road, that we would never get in discussions or arguments. Okay, I'll just be honest. We thought I would never get in arguments, right? Or maybe we had the idea of a perfect pastor, right? The perfect pastor who prays with us and has these words from God for every moment in our life, that calls us up and shares our scripture with us, that every time we walk through the doors, they're there and they say hello to us and greet us as if we're the only people in the whole entire world. Or some of us in the room, maybe we have an idea of the perfect child, right? The perfect kid who knows their chores and does them without asking, who after dinner, they clean their plates and put them in the dishwasher, who never, ever disobey instructions or guidance. Picture perfect kids, right? Or maybe we've had an idea of a perfect boss who knows us well, knows our gift sets, and only gives us the tasks that are in our job description, who always loves to give us vacation and understands that day when we wake up with a headache and we can't make it to work. Or we have a picture of a perfect coworker who always helps us out, who greets us when we come into work and puts a nice little treat on the desk just because they were thinking about us that day, that never would ever give us the end of a project and dump a payload on us, right? Or maybe even so, we think about the perfect church family member who always calls us when we're in need, who knows exactly what to say at the right moment, who never forgets to email us or text us on those important dates. Well, Jesus had it pretty good too. He had an opportunity when he was walking on earth to pick his 12 disciples. He chose them by name. He called them out. They followed him along. They went with him. Now, there were times that he had some issues and maybe he had to guide them. But Peter was one who was his right-hand man. He was with them through the hard times, through the good times. He was even the one, Peter, who Jesus predicted was going to deny him. Jesus at one point said, Peter, you're the rock on which the church will be built, the truth that you know everybody should know. But I don't know about you. Some of my picture-perfect relationships haven't really turned out picture-perfect. Often, our picture-perfect relationship bubble bursts. See, Jesus in this moment, even though he had been walking with Peter and walking with his disciples, he knew that Peter was about to betray him. They were supposed to be connected forever. Now, some of us have already realized in our relationships that things haven't always gone the way that we thought they would go. Peter in this moment, he tells Jesus, Jesus, I would never do that. I would never deny you. I'm with you all the way to the end. And sure enough, probably in our relationships, we've said something like that too to people that we are close to. But then lo and behold, we come into the church and the pastor doesn't say hi to us in the lobby. Nobody's ever texted me about that happening. Our coworker leaves us with the bulk of the assignment at the last minute when they were the ones that were supposed to complete that XYZ in the assignment. Or we have a really crisis moment in our life, and that person, they forgot to call me. They didn't even care about what I was going through. Or our children, they don't follow our instructions like the robot that they should be. Or we get in a fight with our spouse. I got permission to tell a few stories about my life and my marriage. Just recently, we got to celebrate 15 years of marriage. But at the beginning of our marriage, life wasn't really that great. I remember one moment early in our marriage. We were full-time students, working full-time. We decided to throw in buying a house in our first year of marriage, too. It was a wonderful time. Maybe. In this particular moment, we had worked ourselves up. We were arguing, shouting back and forth. I'm sure the neighbors knew. The cats were screaming in the background. We had worked ourselves up into this fiery harangue. And then all of a sudden, I'm getting ready this evening. We're trying to get out the door. And I was trying to prepare us a little bit of food. So I don't know about you guys. Frozen burritos, they're great on those, you know, last second moments. So I had the frozen burrito in my hand. We're yelling back and forth across the house. And all of a sudden, in my fit of anger, I threw the frozen burrito on the ground and boom. I pause in the middle of the fight, right? And Rachel comes running into the kitchen, you know, what happened? And she looks on the ground. All of a sudden, we see, like, shattered everywhere. Just look like ice crystals everywhere. And she goes, what? Did that all come from the burrito? And I said, no, honey. I hit the oven door, and that's glass just shattered everywhere. You know, in those moments, I don't know if you've had them, whatever mistake, whatever relational crisis, chaos happened, I had what I would call a Chandler moment. I want you guys to check out this clip behind me, a moment of Monica and Chandler from a great show called Friends. We're going to check out when Chandler realizes that something might be a little bit different about his relationship. Go ahead and let's watch this clip together.
Hey.
Hi.
I just came over to drop off nothing. So that weekend kind of sucked, huh?
Yeah, it did.
So, I guess this is over.
What?
Well, you know, you and me. I mean, it had to end sometime.
Why exactly?
Because of the weekend. We had a fight.
Chandler, that's crazy. If you give up every time you have a fight with someone, you'd never be with anyone longer than... Oh.
So, this isn't over?
You were so cute. No, it was a fight. You deal with it and you move on. It's nothing to freak out about.
Really? Okay, great.
Welcome to an adult relationship.
We're in a relationship?
I'm afraid so.
Okay.
I'm so glad that Rachel did not quit quickly on me. But sometimes we all have a little Chandler in this, right? We get to a hard point in a relationship. The pastor doesn't say hi. You know, somebody at church didn't call me. My spouse said this to me. This happened with a friend. My coworker always dumps the last thing on me. We have some kind of relational struggle, and we are quick to bail. We're quick to give up. We're quick to change situations, try to get out of it. Well, Jesus knew this would happen in our relationships. He knew that we would have struggles. He knew that it wasn't just going to be a pie in the sky, walk in the park, underneath the sunset. And Jesus alluded to this possibility when he's speaking here to Peter in Luke chapter 22. Not just is it that sometimes our personalities are different, where we have arguments and we have disagreements. Not only is it that, you know, sometimes people mess up, because it's always them and not us, right? I mean, we never fail in our relationships. But Jesus alludes that it's also, there's an enemy that wants to keep us separate. In Luke chapter 22 that we just read, it says, Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from wheat. Simon, I prayed over you in particular that you would not give in or give out. See, Satan is also at work. The enemy doesn't want us to have strong relationships. He doesn't want us to be together. But you know what? I'm also thankful that in this passage, not only does it talk about an enemy wanting to separate us, but it says that Jesus himself was praying for Peter that his relationships would last, that he would not give up or give in. And I'm thankful that in the middle of my struggles and in the middle of your struggles, that Jesus is also there praying for you that you wouldn't give up and that you wouldn't give in. See, he encourages Peter to do something. Relationships aren't perfect. They take work. Jesus said to Peter, when you've come through the testing, when you come through the trial, when you face that chaotic situation within your relationships, that what you should do is not bail on them, not quit like Chandler tried to. No, that you should turn to your companions and give them a fresh start. See, what I love about Jesus is that Jesus is one that not only tells us what to do, but he also does the things that he instructs us to. See, aren't you grateful that Jesus doesn't give up on us? He doesn't, when we make a mistake, just cut us off. But actually, he's one that models himself turning to us and giving us a fresh start. Jesus pursued you and he pursued me, even when we were flawed. When we're messed up, he continually offers us love and forgiveness despite our imperfections. When the going gets tough, when the tests come, don't be quick to quit. I want to take a moment here. I'm sure in the audience, we have a few married couples in the room. I want to see this morning who's been married the longest. So if you this morning have been married for a year, I want you to raise your hand, and we're going to keep our hands raised. Those of us that have been married for at least a year. All right, so we've got a few married couples in the room. That's great. All right, so if you have been married for more than 5 years, go ahead and keep your hand up. Everybody else, you can put it down. More than 5 years, keep your hand up. All right, if you've been married for more than 10 years, could you keep your hand up? All right, awesome. Got a lot of good, strong marriage, a lot of marriage represented in the room. All right. So if you have been married for more than 15 years, Rachel, I just hit that mark, May 19th, 15 years. All right. We still have some hands up in the air. All right. So if you have been married for more than 20 years, could you keep your hands raised this morning? Wow, we got some good marriage, long marriages. All right. If you have been married for more than 30 years, would you keep your hand up? Oh, we have four in the room. All right, this is awesome. Okay, has anybody been married for more than 40 years in the room? 40 years? We have two here in the room. How long have you guys been married? Almost 45. And more than 47. Way to go. I mean, as some cheerworthy. Okay, so I have a question for both of you. Marriage, 45 years, 47. Did it take some work? Never fought. Never fought? Oh, my good. Can you come? I need to. No. It took some work. Did it take some work? If we're going to build lasting relationships, it takes some work. I want to share a story. I wouldn't typically share this story, maybe in the privacy of my living room. My wife and I, we sometimes get an opportunity to speak into people's lives, and we'll share with them the story of our marriage. And I would say this, the first 6 years, we say this together, Rachel, she's in the room, she would agree with me, the first 6 years of our marriage, hell on earth. Hell on earth, terrible, miserable, fought all the time, it was crazy. I promise you, the oven was not the only thing broken in our house. It was chaotic craziness all the time, nonstop, every day. I say I love you, bam, craziness. I mean, back and forth, it was wonderful. Nobody else in the room I know is experiencing that. It was just us. Well, 6 years into marriage, we had a pastor friend of ours. They looked at us, they said, you guys need some help. I said, yeah, yep, that's true. You got some. And then they said, all right, we're going to set you up with a marriage counselor. You guys will go meet at the church. We'll set up a time, get together. And so we went to the marriage counselor, and he said, you know what we're going to do? We're going to give you guys a test. There's this wonderful test we're going to see. And so we could see what areas of your marriage that we could start and help you guys work on so you guys could have a better, stronger marriage, more peaceful and enjoyable time. And we said, all right, sign us up. Where's this test? So they give us this room. I have a computer. Rachel had another room. She had a computer. And we start this test. There was like 100-something questions. It was terrible. Painstaking. Going through all the tests. You know, we get to the end and we're like, great, we did the test. They're going to be able to help us with our marriage and we're going to move forward and this is going to be great. The guy, he makes the appointment for the next week. You know, he's full of smiles. You guys got this. We're going to get you help. It's going to be great. You know, it's just that you know, enthusiastic voice and maybe like me this morning. All right. Anyway, and so we go back to the next appointment the next week. And there was, you know, this joyous, happy, excited guy last week, and this guy this week, same guy, totally stoic. He sits us down, he invites us into his office. You know, he has this big cherry desk. You know, he had two chairs for me and Rachel on this side. He sits on the other side. He, come have a seat. You know, it's totally different atmosphere, totally different experience. And he pulls out this envelope and he says, well, I have some good news for you guys. There's one area, one really important area that you guys are super strong in. I said, oh, that's good. I'm going to tell us what is. He said, you guys both love Jesus. That's good. That's great. That's good. So tell us some more. Said, well, in every other area, you guys don't match at all. We know exactly where to start you guys. Let's go and you guys can have a conversation with this couple and they're going to teach you some basic communication skills and you'll be on your way to a better marriage. Yeah, that was a fun night on the way home. That's why we've been arguing though. Oh, okay. I'm here to tell you this morning, there is hope for your relationships. If you're in the same boat this morning, I'm telling stories, she's like, yeah, I know that moment. It just happened on the way to church this morning. There is hope in Jesus for our relationships. There is hope for no matter what kind of chaos that you're experiencing, no matter how terrible you think it is, no matter how much you dread that moment when you see each other face to face, Jesus is able to walk you through and to build in you the relationships that you desire to have. There is, for those of us in the room that are married, and you may find yourself in that same boat that I was in and Rachel were in, I want to encourage you to take a note. If you have a pen, you have your message notes, to put a note on the side, or later when we do our connection cards, you can do this too. But there is a conference, a weekend, called Marriage Encounter, or Marriage Restored, Marriage Encounter. So if you write on your message notes, or later when we're doing the connection cards again, write on there, Marriage Encounter. You won't have to do a 100-question quiz on this one. But it's a great weekend to go away to receive some encouragement and some skills, some tools to use to help better communicate and help your relationships be strengthened. And so if that's something that you this morning say, yeah, I could use that, go ahead and write that on your connection card, or you can talk to me in the lobby afterwards. But we believe that God is for our relationships, whether they're our friends, whether they're our children, whether they're our coworkers. But I also believe that God is for our marriages. See, this is our goal in any relationship. If we say hashtag goals, it would be to be fully known and still be loved. To be fully known and to still be loved. So this is the relationship that God has with us. He knows our strengths and he knows our weaknesses. He knows when we do great and when we fail. He sees all of us and he still loves us. He still pursues us. He still shows us the forgiveness and the grace that we're needed. Let's listen to this song to remind us of God's love towards us.
Inside me, and you call me out to pull me in. You tell me I can start again, and I don't need to keep on hiding. I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other. It's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. It's so like you to keep pursuing. It's so like me to go astray. But you guard my heart with your truth, the kind of love that's bulletproof. And I surrender to your kindness. Oh, I'm fully known and loved by you. You won't let go, no matter what I do. And it's not one or the other, it's hard truth and ridiculous grace to be known, fully known and loved by you. I'm fully known and loved by you. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? I cannot find the reasons why you'd give me so much. How real, how wide, how rich, how high is your heart? Now I cannot find the reasons why you'd give me so much.
This is a choice that we have to make, that we would, just as God fully knows us and fully loves us, that we would also be ones in all of our relationships to know each other and to choose love. I believe that we need to make this choice, that I will put in the work to keep my relationships. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, they describe that there is a benefit to sticking with it, to not quitting too early. In James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4, the Message version, it reads this way. It says, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and it shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so that you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." Don't be quick to quit on relationships that God has brought your way. They're an opportunity to extend the same love that God has shown us to those who are around us. Now, I promise you, as I went through my marriage life and as we go through our relationships, it may not always be easy. It may not always be the most pleasant experience. But as we show the same love that has been shown us, God matures us, we become more like Him, and our relationships are worth it. I think in a moment like this, it would be appropriate that we pray and ask God for help as we choose to work out all of our relationships. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you don't quit on us. God, that you continually extend love and forgiveness towards us. God, as we receive this challenge this morning, not to quit too quickly on our relationships, God, I pray that you would give us the strength to show the same love and the same grace that you've shown us. God, that we would be willing, God, to extend a fresh start to those that we're in relationships with. Father, help us in this. God, give us the strength to do it. Father, we understand that our relationships are given to us by you. So, Father, help us in this, we pray. In Jesus' name. Now, with every head still bowed and eyes still closed in prayer, at the beginning of the message, I mentioned that if you came looking for hope, for peace, or for purpose in your life, that there's good news, that there is hope found in Jesus. The beautiful thing about this story is that Jesus, even though we made mistakes, that we fall short, that we have sinned, that Jesus loved us, that he came, he died on the cross, he took our place, the penalty of our sin, so that you and I can be forgiven. Today, I want to encourage you to take a step towards Jesus, to receive the forgiveness, to walk into a relationship with him. That starts with a first step, that starts with praying and asking him to forgive you, to make him the leader of your life, making that decision. It's also a second step in water baptism, where you tell others the decision that you've made in your heart, that you go public with that decision to follow after Jesus. Right now, I want to give you an opportunity to receive the forgiveness Jesus died to give you. So we do that by praying. And I want to lead you today in a prayer where you can repeat after me. We're going to talk to God. We're going to ask for forgiveness. We're going to make that decision to make him the leader of our lives. And so if you're in this room and you're ready to make that decision, I want to invite you to pray with me. And here at Focus Church, we never do anything alone. So I want to invite the whole Focus Church to pray this prayer with me, repeating after me. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you for paying my penalty. Forgive me of all of my sins. And help me to live with you as the leader of my life. Bring me peace. Bring me hope. Show me purpose. In Jesus' name, amen.